presented with no static at all from airchecks.com. This is America's classic radio audio museum.
And let's be heard. Good afternoon, everyone. The telephone lines are open. The number to call from Connecticut, 203-862-WABC. From New Jersey, 201-489-WABC. From New York or anywhere else, 212-563-WABC. In a program dedicated to the free and open exchange of ideas and of opinions. And what is on your mind this afternoon, huh? Where I cast my ballot this morning, a little after 7 a.m., I was voter number 5. Last time, I was voter number 6. I have a philosophy that it is my duty to get out there and vote before I do anything else. I really have no patience for people who say, yeah, I'm going to do it this afternoon. I didn't get a chance to get over there. My foot, you didn't get a chance to get over there. It's incredible how lazy people are. It's incredible to me how few people really deserve the vote. And it's amazing how many people think they're doing all the rest of us a favor by participating. You do have a duty, it is my firm belief, you do have a duty, as corny as that may sound to some of you. You do have a duty as a citizen to cast your ballot. And speaking of voting, and that's what we've been talking about for a long time. It seems as though campaigns go on and on and on. I have a fax from William Pripp. Dear Mr. Bob Grant, this is a follow-up to yesterday's fax. I just wanted to let you know that there are Cuomo posters on every signal light pole on every corner surrounding the Board of Elections at 200 Barrack Street. I work in the same building. I tore down 5 or 6 of them this morning and will continue to do the same throughout the day. Interestingly, the Cuomo campaign must be expecting this kind of retaliation from Pataki supporters following the police incident in Williamsburg because they have placed these posters very high up on the pole. I am 6 feet 4 inches tall and I needed to climb up a bit to reach most of them. The disgusting thing is that these posters were all put up since about 5:30 p.m. yesterday, which means that Cuomo supporters were using stepladders in the dark to place them, and of course no police stopped them. And yet the police selectively took down the Pataki signs, and when William Bratton was questioned about it, he became loutish, boorish, crude, rude, insulting, and shows that definitely there is a double standard. And why? Well, figure it out. William Bratton is Rudy Giuliani's handpicked commissioner. Rudy Giuliani, for personal reasons, is going all out to reelect the Svachim to a fourth term. Rudy, people have said to me, you haven't really said too much about Rudy. You've been rather reticent to criticize him. That's true. I really wish I didn't have to. But I think that Rudy Giuliani has become absurd. The endorsement of Cuomo in and of itself was absurd enough. But his active campaigning, manning the telephones, making speeches, going around, making nice with Matilda, who would stab him in the back at the drop of a hat. All these things prove that the vendetta, the animus, the cauldron of hatred for Al D'Amato, which has been brewing in his in his heart is overflowing. And Rudy Giuliani, if the Svachim should win, and I'm not sure he will, as a matter of fact, maybe it's wishful thinking on my part, but I'm getting more and more the inclination that George Pataki will pull this out. But if the Svachim wins, it will not be a victory for the Svachim. Mario knows it, and Rudy knows it. Rudy will look upon it as a victory for himself. Because, in spite of the fact he's done a good job as mayor, there is a dark side to him, a very small side to him, that says, the heck with logic, the heck with the state of New York, the heck with everything, I want to get even with Al. And that's really what it boils down to. I was analyzing his lack of support for George Pataki and yet his endorsement for, say, Herb London. There are very few issues that Herb London and Rudy Giuliani agree on. If you take a look at the basic philosophical and ideological profile of George Pataki, it is more in concert with Rudy Giuliani than Herb London. And yet why does he continue supporting Herb London, as a matter of fact, the entire Republican ticket, with the exception of George Pataki? Because, again, he wants to get even with Al D'Amato. And it's too bad the voters of New York, the citizens of New York, might be, as a result of Rudy's personal vendetta against Al, might be the people who have to pay the price, because we cannot afford four more years of the Svachim. It's that simple. As a matter of fact, if you read some of the political pundits from around the country, they are amazed that the election seems to be this close. Had it not been for Rudy, I think we would sit back and be looking forward to a George Pataki victory statement. At any rate, we're hearing, understandably, so much about negative campaigns. Campaigns have deteriorated. They keep getting worse and worse, without a doubt. The simple fact of the matter is that what political strategists do is they say, hey, listen, we don't have too much to brag about. You're not such a hot guy, Frank. As a matter of fact, you did lousy, but we got to beat the challenger, so let's see what we can do to win this election. We can't brag about ourselves, so let's try to tear him down. Well, hey, look what we came across. This scurrilous, fake, phony New York Magazine piece on Bob Grant. Hey, Bob Grant. Bob Grant got Christy Whitman elected governor in 1993. We don't want him to do the same thing in the Senate race. He could make the difference, Chuck. He could make the difference, Frank. So let's campaign against Bob Grant. And up until Minister Shahid Waters and his associates demanded the pulling of that absolutely hideous, ridiculous campaign literature on television, that campaign spot, that television spot, people were looking at that and they wondered who the heck is running against the Lausenberg. An all-time low has been hit, and I'm sure that it's going on elsewhere around the country, perhaps not as egregiously repulsive as it is here in this part of the country, but certainly negative all the way around. And we could do things to get rid of that, but I guess we don't want to. And you know what these politicians, all of them, are doing is taking advantage of the fact they know people are too lazy to read, too lazy to study, too lazy to stay informed, and too busy, really, in all fairness to the citizen, too busy to really do a total objective job in assessing candidate A versus candidate B. They take advantage. During round number two, that's at 4 o'clock, the former GOP state chairman, state of New York, and one of the most popular, certainly one of the most popular politicos with the media in the history of this state and of this city, George Clark, will be joining us to talk about politics in general and what's going on in the tri-state area in particular, and of course his beloved state of New York. Right now, though, we're going to turn our attention elsewhere. Talk to you a bit about your car insurance. Have you taken a good look at what you're paying? Have you noticed increases lately? Well, with a simple phone call to 1-800-876-3600, you can join the growing number of New York's good drivers who are saving plenty on car insurance by dealing directly with U.S. Capital Insurance Company. U.S. Capital could save you money because they only look to insure New York's good drivers, and those savings are passed on to you. And listen to this. In a report just released by the State Insurance Department, consumers ranked U.S. Capital as one of the best performers in claims handling and customer satisfaction. Call U.S. Capital right now for your free rate quote at 1-800-876-3600. Qualify and start saving on your premiums this year while getting the protection you need. It's simple. If you want a great deal on car insurance, call U.S. Capital now at 1-800-876-3600. 1-800-876-3600 for U.S. Capital Insurance Company, Medford, New York. Our first caller of the day on this election day, 1994, Nick from Long Island. Hello.
Yeah, Bob. I'd just like to remind the people who are on their way to vote, while they're driving in their car, to think about all the taxes that Mario has levied on our cars, as in the tripling of our registration and license fees and our gas tax and our oil tax and all the other little taxes he's hit us with.
Oh, forget the birth certificate tax?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're the only state that taxes you at death and birth.
And well, that's what people like Mario Cuomo, and especially Mario Cuomo, that's what they're about. That's their philosophy of government. Just keep taxing and taxing and taxing, and they really don't know any other way. It's no secret that New York has the second highest tax rate. There's some question that in some respects they surpass Alaska. But at any rate, it's no secret as to why businesses have moved out, why, in spite of some of the adjacent states having a bettering of economy, New York's continues really to flounder. It's no wonder, Nick. And that's why it disturbs me that the mayor of this city, who seems to have a basically different philosophy, is supporting the Svachim. If it isn't clear to anybody by this time, to everybody by this time, that it's his personal animus for Al D'Amato, I think the two of them really are responsible for this situation. But why do the taxpayers have to suffer because Rudy's mad at Al? That's the question. Thank you very much, Nick.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Yes, could I just tell Mario salute?
All right.
Mario, arrivederci.
All right. Let's hope that's appropriate. Shirley from Long Island, hello.
Hello. I just wanted to remind the voters who haven't voted yet that it's not too late, that Mario Cuomo, about a month and a half ago, promised all the welfare chiefs who have multiple aliases, multiple identities, who are going to be detected by the new fingerprint system, that he will make sure, he'll promise them that they will not be prosecuted and arrested. Do they want, four more years of this?
All right, excellent. Thank you very much. And you would think on the Thomas Grasso case, alone, Cuomo would lose. You know that absurd case where this guy, Thomas Grasso, committed two murders, one in New York, one in Oklahoma. The state of Oklahoma has a right to this bum. Grasso himself said he wanted to be executed. And yet Cuomo wants to spend $700,000 of your tax money to keep this swine alive. And then, after the 20 years is up, then Oklahoma can have him to be executed. Only a svachim like Mario Cuomo could be guilty of such idiocy. Penny, you're on WABC. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Penny calling from Long Island. I got out and voted this morning. I have a wonderful, upbeat little jingle for you from Ethel Merman's famous Everything's Coming Up Roses. It goes like this. Victory for the GOP. Democrats go down in defeat. Oh. Goodbye, Tom Foley, you liberal louse. Hello, Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House. The Democrats from the Clintons try to flee. Hmm. Yippee, everything's coming up Republican for you and for me. Ollie North, Bishop Rob, New Jersey dumps that Lausenberg. And little Ted Kennedy, Mitt sends him home to his mummy. Bob Dole now leads the Senate majority. Yippee, everything's coming up Republican for you and for me. Despite the media with the bias spin, people vote the Republicans in. Hoppington edges out Diane. Sasser loses to a heart surgeon.
And we're going to cover every single race.
House now liberal and gridlock free. Yippee, everything's coming up Republican for you and for me.
This lady's probably a Democrat.
What?
Yeah, you're probably a Democrat trying to make the Republicans look bad.
Who?
With that singing.
You don't like it?
Well, I think, the lyrics are very nice. It's just that I worry. When people do what you're doing, I worry. I can hear radios clicking off all over town. That worries me.
Why?
Well, why? I'll tell you why. Because you sound like you have a stomachache.
You know what? I have been sick this week. About 4 weeks ago, I didn't have the nerve until the day to call you, and I've been suffering from a terrible cold, and I wish I could have given it to you on the day when I could have spoke clearly and whatever.
Listen, don't mistake my reaction. Reaction, I'm on two levels. On the one level, I admire what you're doing. On the other level, I just hope that the rest of the audience has stayed with us. That's all. No. You know what we have to do, Penny? We have to get you together with Marty, who's also...
I wanted to find him because I really need to have... I wanted to write a backup. What I want to do is... The Republicans need a real positive campaign song. Not for me to sing it, but to go in.
You're not bad. No, you're not. Listen, you did it without musical accompaniment.
I know what.
And a darn sight better than I. I mean, heck, if I did it, they'd shut down the station. I can't sing. But, we should get you together with Marty for a Broadway production of Svachim a lot.
Well, I don't want to be in a Broadway production. I just want to make... I want the people, I want Republicans throughout the country, I want them to have something that every time they think of a particular piece of music like this one, they will think of the Republican Party and what the party stands for, conservatism, family values, and getting back to what our forefathers did in trying to form this great country.
Well, Penny, I appreciate it. Listen, you take care of yourself. Get rid of that...
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, here on WABC, everything's coming up roses, okay? Say, look at that time. Rolex watch worth. Bring it to Palisade Jewelers. How much is your Cartier watch worth? Bring it to Palisade Jewelers. How much is your Patek Philippe watch worth? Bring it to Palisade. Palisade Jewelers in Fort Lee, New Jersey, pays very high prices for these watches. Let Palisade prove that the watch you own is worth more than you think. Call 201-461-4666 and have a courteous representative evaluate your watch. Or bring your watch to their Fort Lee location at 249 Main Street, just one block south of the George Washington Bridge. Rolex, Cartier, Patek Philippe, Bulgari, Piaget are just some of the watches that bring high cash prices today. Palisade Jewelers will also take your old watch and trade for a newer model. Palisade is the place for the world's finest new and pre-owned watches. Come in or call 201-461-4666 to buy, sell, or trade up to the watch of your choice. Palisade Jewelers gives courteous, confidential service. Call 201-461-4666. Palisade Jewelers, the civilized place to sell your watch.
All right, shall we get back to our busy telephones? Oh, speaking of telephones, I was tipped off. I got a call from someone in the Chuckatayan campaign, and they wanted me to hear their announcement that they give if people ask about Chuck's relationship with me. And people want to be assured, and the message is, yes, Chuckatayan has been a friend of Bob Grant's and will always be a friend of Bob Grant's. And people are asking at the Hatayan headquarters. So I'll save you the phone call. If that's keeping you from voting, don't be hesitant one more second. Get out there and vote, because Chuck has not deserted me. He has not deserted me. And even if he did, I'd tell you to get out there and vote. All right. Now, here's a man who knows far more about voting than most people in this country. And he's in a position to study the whole country. He's Pat Buchanan, syndicated columnist and co-host of CNN's Crossfire. So right off the bat, Pat, how do things look nationwide? Will the GOP take the Congress?
I think we're going to take the U.S. Senate. Even before today came around, most folks figured that we had about six seats, in, one in Arizona, one in Maine, one in Ohio, the one in Oklahoma, one in Tennessee, and maybe the one in Michigan that we were going to pick up, which would give us six seats. And I think we're competitive in about four or five others. So I think we're going to get the Senate. I think it's still open, Bob, whether we can capture the House. I think the governorships, we're going to wind up with somewhere between 7, 8, 9, or 10 of the 10 largest states in the union. Up in your own state, I know Mario Cuomo's ahead, but I think that's that is still, it's a long shot, but it's still winnable.
Yeah, and if it hadn't been for the fact that Rudy Giuliani has this personal vendetta, mm-hmm. With Al D'Amato, it's it works both ways. But because of his desire to get back at Al D'Amato, that's why he's backing Mario Cuomo. It's that simple.
Well, you know the politics in New York better than I do. I don't know whether there's some kind of expectation or arrangement that Giuliani can be helped by Cuomo and won't be helped by Pataki. But I do think that the Democrats, at least down here in Virginia, you know, Doug Wilder despises Chuck Robb. At least his public career has been one of animosity and just real nastiness. But they pulled together for the cause. And I think if Giuliani had pulled together for the party, for the Republican Party, buried the different disagreements with Al D'Amato, sat down with all of them and had a unity gathering, I think we'd be sailing to victory right now. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you analyze Rudy's posture here, he is endorsing Dennis Vaco for Attorney General, which really it shouldn't surprise anyone. Mm-hmm. They worked as prosecutors together. He's endorsing her. Here's the inconsistency here. He's endorsing Herb London for comptroller, and yet Herb London's philosophical underpinnings are far cry from Rudy's. George Pataki, on the other hand, seems to be more in tune with Rudy than Herb Lund.
I don't understand that. I see where Dan Quayle this morning said he thinks that Rudy's going to go Democratic. It's the only way he can go into the Democratic Party now. But I don't understand. I mean, you're right. Herb Lund is, has a reputation, national reputation, as a staunch conservative, more on the conservative wing of the party, and the complete opposite of Rudy Giuliani, as opposed to Pataki. So maybe you got to understand the feuds up there that some of us don't understand that well, Bob, to understand what's going on.
Well, I know both of them personally, and I've regarded both of them as friends, and they tell me the same. They sing the same tune to me privately, except you just change the name. When I'm talking to Al, you substitute the name Rudy. Right. When I'm talking to Rudy, you substitute the name Al. I mean, I had offered to be a peacemaker at one time, and they both practically killed me.
There's not going to be any peace now, I'll tell you, unless if Pataki does not win. I still think, even though I know that a lot of Republicans are saying that's the one we can't win, I still think Pataki's got a fighting shot at it.
A lot of people around here do, too, and as a matter of fact, someone had said a little while ago, prior to our getting you on the phone, had it not been for what Rudy did, this would probably be a Pataki landslide.
I think it would be a relatively easy Pataki win, but I think he can still win it, and I would hope anybody out there that is sort of disheartened by the split ought not to be. They ought to go out and vote. And, of course, I'm very much for Pataki, and I'd like to see him win it. And they ought not to, stay home. This thing can be won.
Now, let me ask you this, though, about the propensity that Republicans have for deserting their party, which seems very rare with Democrats. And I think of Mayor Riordan out in...
Reardon, right out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
He's endorsed Pete Wilson, but he also endorsed Dianne Feinstein.
Why do you suppose he did that?
I think it's probably more of a personal relationship with Feinstein and no relationship at all with Huffington. Feinstein probably has been very helpful to Los Angeles when it had its troubles with the earthquake and the rest, and maybe he feels a debt of gratitude, and maybe he feels she's going to win, and she's going to be a real power down there in Washington, very close to the president. Could be that, but I think they've cut their throats politically. And, of course, Virginia is a clear-cut case where the First Lady, former First Lady Nancy Reagan, came out against Ollie North. A lot of some establishment Republicans have gone in there and just assaulted him. You got the thing in California where Kemp and Bennett went out there and torpedoed to Proposition 187 by coming out basically saying it was a bigoted proposition. And the Republican Party had built much of its campaign upon that. And there was no request for that statement. It was simply volunteered and tossed into the middle of the battle. And so I think after this is over, there's going to be some bad blood inside the Republican Party, even if it's a big day. And I think it's going to be a very, very big day for the GOP.
Yeah, Pat. More often than not, I get the feeling the Republican Party has never recovered from 1912.
The old Bull Moose,
yeah.
William Howard Taft split. Of course, it reasserted itself, Bob, as you know, in the post-war era in the Eisenhower-Taft battle and the Dewey-Taft battles and the establishment versus the grassroots. And again in the Goldwater battle and... Goldwater versus Rockefeller, and again in Reagan versus Ford. And I think it replayed somewhat back in 1992 in our own challenge to George Bush. But I do think this. Look, I think that the ideas of the populist conservative Republicans are now dominant. Mr. Bush, I believe, and I've got a great respect for him, and I don't want to reopen any old arguments, but he was a big government Republican. He believed in higher taxes. He believed in more regulators. He believed in cutting deals with the Congress. The whole Republican Party has now moved, I think, in the direction of a more principled and, if you will, confrontational approach with the idea of liberalism. And it's done extremely well this year by doing that. So I think we're all agreed. We got to cut taxes. We may disagree where. We got to control, if not cut back, government spending. We might disagree where. We do have some other issues like illegal immigration, right to life, gay rights legislation, foreign policy. Are we going to be interventionist or America first, foreign aid, where we do have disagreements. But I think if the disposition is there on the part of a lot of folks that are in the leadership position of the GOP, not to let ego get away from them and to form a coalition where it has people that disagree with one another. A Buchanan and a Kemp disagree on a lot of things. There's William Wells, certainly on the liberal wing of the party with Pete Wilson. But if the party does not fall apart and pulls together, I think it can take everything in 96. But if it splits itself up in another bloodbath and you get a third-party candidate like a Ross Perot or someone promoting a Colin Powell as a third-party candidate, then the future, vanishes before us.
You mentioned Ollie North, the Virginia campaign. It seems as though they've been piling on. You mentioned the former First Lady.
They have been piling on, and I think it's... Ollie was very gentlemanly about it. He said, you know, I don't get in an argument with the lady, but, you know, I deeply regret the interventions in there. The voters of Virginia, the Republicans of Virginia, know Ollie North's record, backward and forward. Miller brought it out. He was a good candidate. They lost at the convention. And when you lose and you've been in a primary fight, it seems to me you support the winner, or if you can't feel you can't, you keep silent. You don't go out and sabotage the guy's campaign. I've got strong objections to what's being done to Ollie in that regard.
And, of course, Marshall Coleman is in there because John Warner wants him in there to siphon votes off from Ollie, right?
Yeah, but the oddity there is, Bob, that Coleman's siphoning more from Rob than he is from Ollie.
Oh, really? Did you determine that, Pat?
Sure. If Coleman had dropped out of the race, the reading was it would go 2 out of 3 would probably go, maybe even 3 out of 4 would go to Rob.
Does Ollie have any chance now?
Ollie has a fighting chance. I think he's got a... I think it's even money. Half the people in Virginia think Ollie's going to roll to victory, and half think Rob's going to win it. There was a poll that was very... a big problem on Sunday, I believe it was. A Richmond poll came out of registered voters that showed Rob with an 8-point lead. It was not likely voters, though. The intensity factor favors... Ollie. I went to my polling place in Northern Virginia, which is supposed to be Rob country. They did tell me they've never seen such a heavy turnout. We had in our precinct there's 1,800 people, 700 had voted by 11 o'clock, and so it's very, very intense, and it basically is a referendum on Ollie North now.
Yeah, I guess that's what the Rob people wanted, no?
Well, they don't want a referendum on Chuck Rob's record, just because they want it. They certainly don't want that.
Yeah. There was a hope in the North camp that at the very least, even though Wilder didn't stay in, that he would just retire to the sidelines and not say anything. What do you suppose convinced him to make that ringing endorsement of Chuck Robb?
I think the Democrats got to him and said, listen, Doug, we know your feelings about Chuck Robb, but you can't win this thing. It's obvious your numbers are going down into single digits. All you're going to do is siphon off a lot of minority voters from Rob, and you could be the reason that the Republicans captured the United States Senate. And a lot of our guys, staffers and others, are fired. We lose all these committees. The president's put into trouble. And we know how you feel about Chuck, and we can understand it. But you can't do that to the party. And if you want a future in this party, and there can be a future for you in the Clinton administration, a lot of doors are open. If you'll step out and endorse Chuck Robb, but if you don't, you're going to be the one blamed, and it's all over for you. That's what my guess is the message that was delivered.
Pat, it's always good talking to you. I hope we can do it more in the time to come, and thank you for giving us this time on Election Day 1994.
Bob, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Pat Buchanan, ladies and gentlemen, right here on WABC. He says... It is character, not IQ. The elite didn't build America. People of courage did. And Pat is very concerned about the future of this country for basically the same reasons many of us are. And that is, what about our values? Do we have values anymore? And, of course, there's a lot of evidence to indicate that we're losing our values. We'll have to talk about that more in the time to come. Right now, let me tell you that this portion of the Bob Grant Show is brought to you by Office Max.
You can... Right. What's wrong with being a nice guy? What's wrong with not wanting to hurt people? What is the big tragedy? Listen, I am not somebody who empathizes with radical anarchists. And I always think that riots should be suppressed immediately and very forcefully. But if you think that I have any sympathy, and I don't think you have any sympathy for people who are just trying to be wise guys.
Jay Diamond, weeknights at 10 on 77 WABC.
Hear that?
It's the sound of fresh, clean breath. Now you too can eat what you want and not worry about garlic breath, onion breath, even morning breath. Imagine an all-natural product that gets rid of garlic breath for hours. No mouthwash, mint, or gum will do that. Clinically tested, Breath Assure does, and it lasts and lasts. Each tiny, powerful Breath Assure capsule contains a unique blend of parsley seed and sunflower oils. You simply swallow two or three capsules after a meal, and you can be confident that you have fresh, clean breath. And now, Breath Assure has a special offer to launch their new single-use packs. Order Breath Assure now and get four packs of Breath Assure. That's 200 Breath Assure capsules for only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And, oh, if you order right now, you'll also receive 10 single-use packs absolutely free. Free. Hey, did I say free? Free. Free hugs, free kisses, free intimate conversations. Call 1-800-527-6700. Call now. 1-800-527-6700. Guaranteed or your money back. So try Breath Assure. 1-800-527-6700. Joyce, you're at WABC. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Grant. It's nice to have the chance to speak with you. I'm calling from Emerson, which is a small town in northern Bergen County, and I wanted to let you know about something that I found out on Sunday night. At the local supermarket, literature was being distributed on behalf of the incumbent mayor, and that literature was an endorsement by our governor, Christy Whitman, specifically singling out the incumbent mayor of a small town in New Jersey with a radius of 1 square mile. It was a personal endorsement. She was coming out and urging the people of Emerson to vote for this incumbent mayor. And I find it odd because New Jersey has 567 municipalities, and I doubt that Governor Whitman has expended the energy to come out in every town from Aberdeen to Wildwood Crest and support the incumbent or the candidate of her party in all those towns. So I feel that she's being very selective in endorsing this specific incumbent mayor from a very small town like Emerson.
Uh-huh.
And I, for one, as a new resident, was very turned off by that, and her efforts backfired. I mean, I did go out this morning, sir. I voted for Hytaian, but when I got to the local level, I had to cast my vote for Mr. Cassidy, Mr. McCarter, and Mr. Lamatina. I simply could not vote for the incumbent mayor because, to me, something's rotten in Denmark when a governor of a large state comes out in support of a mayor of a very small town, and it makes me wonder, you know, what was in it for her or why she came out in support of him and not, say, the mayor.
I think you're making too much of this. I think that things like this happen quite often. The mayor may have been extremely helpful to her in initial stages of her campaign. He may have contacted her. He said, Madam Governor, I'm in a tight race here. I wonder if you would give me a hand. And, in politics, and George Clark is going to be able to tell us more about this later. In politics, people who want to remain viable do return favors. We used to have a guy here who was head of the Manhattan GOP, a real character by the name of Vincent Albano, and he used to always say, "You owe me, you owe me." So maybe she owed him. Well, I think you're making too much of it, dear.
Well, you know, the scuttlebutt in town was that there was a primary contest in June, and it was actually the candidates on the opposite side of the primary that had, in fact, supported Whitman during her campaign.
Well, listen, you answered by voting for the other guy, and at least you voted for Chuck, so...
I did that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye now.
Jim Bargain Hunters, Manhattan Ford Lincoln Mercury is having their 1994 year-out clear-out, a huge selection of brand-new 1994 cars and trucks at New York's only auto outlet center. Al Vitarelli, president of Manhattan Ford Lincoln Mercury, says his 1995s are here. They have a huge selection of 1994 Escorts, Tracers, Probes, Aerostars, Crown Vics, Explorers, Continentals, and Town Cars, all at never-again prices, all fully equipped, not stripped, with air conditioning, automatic transmission, AM, FM stereo, rear defroster, and much, much more. For instance, a 1994 Escort, LX wagon, or a four-door, only $10,595. Tracer four-door, $11,395. Probe GT, $16,895. Explorer, $22,295. And they have many more to choose from, but hurry, they're going fast, and all must be sold by November 15th. And remember, their no-nonsense pledge, the price you see is the price you pay. Manhattan Ford Lincoln Mercury, West 57th Street and 11th Avenue. Call 212-581-7800. Only tax, license, and registration fees are extra. Billy, checking in on the line from Astoria. Yes, Billy.
Okay, hi, Bob. The past 3 weeks I've known has been a tremendous emotional ride for you. I just wanted to let you know that today I cast my vote for candidate George Pataki, soon to be governor-elect Pataki, with greater enthusiasm only because he called the Bob Grant Show last week. That meant something to me. And I like to tell the voters, Pataki is going to win in a squeaker, and this is important to anyone voting late in the day. Ignore those exit polls if they come out, because people will be lying, and just get out there and vote. And Bob, I'd like to turn to New Jersey, because the First Amendment has come up a lot the past 3 weeks, and I'd like to remind everyone that freedom of speech was protected by the young American soldiers that died for it. And I'm urging all New Jersey voters to teach Frank Lautenberg the ultimate lesson. Don't you dare ever tamper with the First Amendment, and especially Bob Grant. And whatever happens today, Bob Grant is still going to be number one. And just get out there and vote. And thanks, Bob.
All right, Billy, thank you. And regardless of whether Lautenberg wins or loses, I do want an investigation. Al D'Amato promised that as a member of the Senate Transportation Committee, he would seek an investigation into the activities of Frank Lautenberg when he wrote to the head of Amtrak demanding that they stop the advertising on the Bob Grant Show using his office where it wasn't supposed to be used. But we'll save that for another time. Sam, you're on WABC. Hello.
Yes, Bob. There's so little time to say so much, so I'll try to make it as brief as possible. This unbelievable psychological trauma that you have suffered at the hands of what we have come to know as the We Know What's Best For You gang. There's one of them in every country, and we have one right here in this country, and we have the primos and the capos right here in little old New Jersey, and we must teach them a lesson and vote them right out into oblivion. Everyone knows who their names are. We don't have to even mention any names. They know the ones that have caused it, you voters out there. But I must say this, Bob, that this situation...
Sam, I wish we had more time, but... You want to stay on after the news?
Metrotron's number one AM radio station in New York, Long Island, and the USA.
WABC, New York.
It's 4 o'clock.
Your number one for classic radio listening, airchecks.com.